attention, race fans.
You're a player, but your wheels ain't fly. You gotta hit us up to get a pimped out ride.
Where else are you gonna find Pimp My Ride on speed? Oh, well.
I think it's time we talk about Saturday night.
I do, too. The Can-Am 125 coming up out at Evergreen Speedway this Saturday night. It's billed as kind of the support show for the Can-Am Pro Series West. But, boy, I tell you, this is going to be a whale of a race. The press reports, and rightfully so, have kind of billed this as a young versus old race. And I think one of the other subplots in this part of the history of Evergreen Speedway is coming up, and I am so honored to be able to kind of help promote this part of it a little bit. On the phone right now, we have one of the competitors in the Can-Am 125. Her name is Jessica Dana, and Jessica, hopefully I've got you on the phone all right. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being with us. I know it's been quite a struggle to try and get a hold of you.
Sorry about
that. But it's okay, rightfully so. And joining us in the studio are two other participants that make this race really unique. And the fact that I think, Tom, you being far more historical with Evergreen Speedway, this is the first time we're going to have three females in this race. We've got them all on our show right now. Also joining us in the studio, making her way all the way over from Idaho, is Hannah Newhouse. Hannah, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
And also a many-time participant here on North Sound Racing over the years, Molly Helmuth, is here as well. You're going to be lining up against Hannah and Jessica as well. Molly, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me. You guys just can't get enough of me, can you?
Well, there's... That's one way we could put it. That's a good way to start it out.
Hannah, I'm kind of curious. Have you? I assume you've seen Evergreen Speedway, but what are people telling you? What are the Thompson crew, maybe your dad, what do they tell you about Evergreen Speedway's 5/8 mile worn out racetrack?
You know, actually, I haven't raced on anything bigger than a half mile so far. So I made the trip out over to the Speedway before we came over here. And looking at the straightaway, I'm like, geez, I mean, I could eat a sandwich on that straightaway. I mean, it's just longer than anything I've driven. And we went down and walked the corners, and it's like, are you out of the corners yet? I mean, geez, you can eat a sandwich there, too. I'm going to be full by the time the race is over. But I'm definitely looking forward to it. I mean, it's something I haven't raced before. I've heard it's pretty abrasive, which... Luckily, I drive pretty easy on my tires in comparison to other drivers, so that'll hopefully be something that works in my favor, definitely, but I'm looking forward to it.
I'm kind of curious, before
go ahead,
Molly, if you had to give her some advice other than finish behind you, what would that advice be?
Wow. Well, she walked the track, and you can see that there's not a lot of banking on the track, so just take it easy for the first couple of laps and build up, and go to what you feel is comfortable, and then make the uncomfortable the comfortable, and just drive your butt off, and I know you can do that. So you'll have fun, and it should be a good race.
Now, Jessica, let's throw the same question to you. You've done your fair share of laps on the 5/8 over the past couple of years. Is Molly right on her assessment? Just to and keeping in mind your first few laps on the 5/8 when you ran it a couple of years ago, what was that like for you?
It was overwhelming, to say the least, but it's something you get used to. It the speed's all relative to the size of the track. I've seen Hannah drive when we went back east together for the NASCAR Drive for Diversity Combine.
Mm-hmm.
She can flat drive, so she'll do just fine on the big track.
Now, what kind of sandwich would you prefer to have going down the front stretch, Jessica?
Good question.
Think that one over.
I'll let you know a little bit later. I never thought of that.
Yeah, we'll want your answer by the end of the segment. Hannah, talk about your background driving, and then we'll kind of go down the line for those who are not familiar with you or Molly or Jessica. But, Hannah, we'll start with you. How'd this whole madness get started for you?
Well, my parents were crazy enough at 5 years old to stick me in a go-kart, and it was asphalt road course. And, of course, from that point on, I mean, I was hooked.
Mm-hmm.
So I worked my way up, had multiple track championships, couple state championships. And once again, at 13, my parents got this crazy idea that it would be a good idea to put a 13-year-old without a driver's license in a pro truck. And so due to age restrictions, I actually couldn't race the full season. So I hit and miss races, got some seat time, and the next year I came back, raced full times in the truck at 14, and I actually ended up rookie of the year and fourth in points.
Wow, nice.
And ending that year, I actually got picked up by Thompson Motorsports, who's based out of Jerome, Idaho. They wanted to put me in a limited local late model program with the Wheel and All American. And we ran, I think, like 20 races that year locally. And I think I had 6 wins, 10 top qualifiers. And I actually broke the record of being the youngest female to ever win a race of Wheeling. And so after that, they gave me the opportunity to run a K&N West race. And it was in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I actually finished 6th place with my debut in K&N. And so that was an awesome experience also to go back east that at the end of the year for the NASCAR Drive for Diversity, which Jessica was also in attendance, and we were roommates, buddies, and, you know, our goal was to give them heck back there, and I think we did. And then this year, I'm also, again, on board with Thompson Motorsports, running full-time traveling super late model program, and also a full-time ASA Pro Truck traveling. So
oh, cool.
I had a busy summer this year.
Yeah. Okay, Molly, how about you?
Yeah, well, I was introduced to the sport at the age of 3. My uncle raced stock cars for 20 plus years and still does it currently. And at the age of 11, I was introduced to go-karts, road course asphalt as well. And then at the age of 14, I got into mini stocks, ran those for 2 years, and then hopped into a Pro 4 truck. And then we got involved with the Ron Sutton Driver Development Program, which was based in California. And we ran a midget back there, and or down there, actually. And now we're racing the super late model up here at Evergreen Speedway and traveling all around the Northwest.
Did a nice job over at Wenatchee over the past couple times as well.
Oh, thank you.
I was very impressed with that. Jessica, what about you?
I wish I had the experience that both Molly and Hannah had. I got introduced to the sport when I was 16 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I went down to Charlotte, North Carolina, got to race against Jeff Gordon, ended up beating him and other NASCAR drivers like Kenny Wallace, A.J. Allmendinger, which was a really cool experience. And that's what kind of got me hooked into racing. So I got into a Rotax senior kart. Everyone told my dad to put me in a Rotax junior to start out with to get the experience. But no, my dad wouldn't let me start in a beginner class and just threw me in with the wolves. So I did that. I had a couple track records in that. I had a second-place championship and a first-place championship in that series. And then, again, everyone told my dad, oh, put her in a legend or something like that so she can get experience on asphalt oval. No, my dad put me in a 600-horsepower super late model. And I have been doing that for the past 2.5 years.
I've got a question for you, Molly. End of June, they had the showdown at Evergreen Speedway, and the last 10 laps might have been in the top 3 or 4 10 laps I've ever seen in late model competition. If that didn't turn people on to stock car racing, you don't have a heart or anything else. But Jay Sauls, who won that, ran a line that I don't think I've ever seen run at Evergreen Speedway. Much, much higher through the corners than ever. Do you have a feeling why that worked for Jay Sauls? And are we going to see other people try that maybe this Saturday night?
You know, it just depends on how your car is set up and what your driving capability is and what skills you have and all the background that you have. And obviously, we all know that he is a talented driver. And, you know, it's whatever your car can handle and what you can handle and what you're comfortable with and if you can put it in the corner that way.
Hannah, your background, your mechanical knowledge and your ability to be able to come in and tell your crew, which I know is a great crew, because that Thompson Motorsports group, those guys don't mess around. They they hook you up with some pretty dynamite people. But are you finding yourself more comfortable being able to express what you want your race car to do and be able to get it done the way you want it done?
Yeah, definitely. Of course, from running the limited late model last year and having 20 races, I mean, that gives you a lot of time to really understand a car. And of course, jumping into the super late model, if you ask me, it's a whole different beast. I mean, you got a lot more horsepower, they're lighter cars. So the concept is the same of how a car is going to act, but changing it might be a little different because the horsepower really does affect how a car will react to corners in comparison to a heavier, lower horsepower car. And so after I think I've had 8 races or 7 races in a super late model so far, I'm feeling more and more comfortable about being able to come into my crew and saying, okay, hey, the car's doing this and this is what I want it to do. or compensate with this because if you make that, I mean, if you change my entry, it's going to help my exit or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm feeling a lot more comfortable. This weekend, actually, I won't be with the Thompson crew.
Oh, okay.
I'm in my dad's number 26 car. He raced it for many years. He raced it in 2007, was the Rocky Mountain Challenge Series champion. So that car's got some history. He actually backed it into the wall 2 weeks ago in qualifying, and we were in a scramble to put it back together. And you know, it's probably like a 12-year-old chassis, so it's gonna be an interesting weekend this weekend at Evergreen with not my crew, my normal crew. I'll be with my dad and his old crew chief, and so I'm looking forward to it.
I'm kind of curious, Hannah. Obviously, not on a track this big, 125 laps. You're going to have to save the tires, but do you have to save Hannah also? I mean, is this something that physically you think is going to challenge you, or are you comfortable going 125 laps?
Well, luckily with the Rocky Mountain Challenge, we generally do run a lot longer races. I mean, we ran 125 laps last Saturday, 100 laps the weekend before, and of course we've had a 200 lapper. So really, as I've been introduced into the super late models, it's not like I've been introduced 50 laps at a time. I'm being thrown 125, 200 lap events. So of course, it being a bigger track, it is going to be a little bit more physically enduring. But I also think that I've been working my way up to this. So it's going to get me, but hopefully won't get me as bad.
Jessica, how about you? The nice part about being young is the last thing you probably need to think about is being in shape. But,
physically demanding.
It is physically demanding, and it's so impressive. And that's why I wanted to make the comment to Molly about going over to Wenatchee and running with a Pro All-Star Series over there. Now, I think you came over and ran the first one, didn't you, and your team?
I ran. Sorry.
No, go ahead, Jessica.
Oh, I thought you were talking about me. No,
I am talking about
that one.
Yeah, did you do that, Jessica?
Oh,
sorry, I screwed that up.
I did the first one over there.
That's okay. But so 125 laps to you is and you know, with Hannah and Molly, I think, as well, is probably just kind of an afterthought, huh? Just being able to be out there for that long a time has got to be pretty cool.
Yeah, it's fun. It's 125 laps, I feel like, is not that long.
Mm-hmm.
It goes by pretty fast because you're in an intense situation, and I'm used to running 200 laps on South Sound Speedway, which is a short track.
Yeah.
Probably one of the most physically demanding tracks you're going to go to.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty – it's a rough one. But the one last question I have for all you guys, and this is kind of a really important one, but you kind of know where I'm going, and Jessica, we'll start with you. I want you to really talk about the people that have helped you out this year, not only sponsor-wise, but your crew guys, too, and then we'll just kind of go right down the line, but we'll start with you.
Oh, I really have to start out with my dad. He's been there for me since day one, both my parents, and we picked up Derek Copeland, who used to race with Jonathan Gomez.
Mm-hmm.
He's my spotter. Amazing guy.
That guy's incredible.
We have Doug and Greg Bennett. They're awesome guys. They've helped me so much. They were actually with me when I got my first win in the heat race, last race.
Mm-hmm.
And then my crew chief, Neil Durline, he's been with me since my first season, and he's like a second dad to me.
All right, Hannah, how about you?
Definitely, of course, I have my parents, because they were the first ones to throw me in a go-kart at 5, and my dad actually raced before me. And so it was kind of in the bloodline to go ahead and, start racing. And, of course, it was my choice to continue with it. But I have to definitely thank him and, my crew chief, Brian, who was actually my dad's crew chief before mine. So he's really stuck with the family and helped us out. And then when Thompson Motorsports came along, they really pushed my career and took it to the next step with the exposure, taking me to big races, meeting the people that have helped me get to where I am, including sponsors and people that really back my career. So definitely I wouldn't be where I am as far as recognition, running races like this, without Thompson Motorsports. So they've mm-hmm. definitely been a big help, a big push.
And Miss Helmuth?
Yeah, well, as you can see that we have had kind of a bad string of luck, just kind of like Gary, and hopefully that monkey off our back seems to turn around and get off of ours. So we've had a lot of crew helping at the shop for the past 4 weeks since we've been racing every single weekend, and they're there right now putting in a new rear end and getting all scaled and tuned up for tomorrow and this weekend. That's Rich Palmer, Toby Jenkins, Scott Davis, Dave Flickner, Terry Warren. A big thanks to Tanner Racing for getting us back on track. And then Mike and Rod Helmuth for all their hard work. And, of course, our sponsors, Security Imaging, Gianna Helmuth CPA, Linwood Napa, Squires Machine, Champion Spark Plugs, and Better Meat.
Now, you had kind of a weird thing happen at Wenatchee last Saturday. What was that all about?
A lot of you guys know that, I don't know, a lot of you guys know, but we had our steering strut broke coming out of turn three, and so no steering. A little weird.
Yeah, it was.
You just don't weld a steering column together when you're trying to extend it 4 or 5 foot female. it just all comes down to safety.
Yeah.
And so pretty much for people that are out there trying to weld steering columns together, don't do it. Buy a $15 steering column and save you a couple thousands of dollars, because it was, you know, it could have been a lot worse than
what it was.
It was a second earlier, we could have been in the pits or in that wall that connects coming off the track, and it could have been a head-on collision, but thankfully we didn't get hurt.
Props to all the spotters
during that race as well.
That could have been potentially damaged. Well, I guess, Jessica, to wrap this up, I wish you were here.
I could
feel a pretty wicked arm wrestling tournament coming up if you were here, but I guess we'll have to maybe get some side action going in the pits at Evergreen after the Can-Am 125. But, boy, I sure appreciate you taking time out to be with us. It'll be good to – I told your dad I wanted to meet him and all you guys on Saturday, and Hannah, your guys' team too, and Molly as well. So it's been really a privilege to have you guys take time out. And I know this is a busy time getting ready for this big show coming up. But, Jessica, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's our pleasure. We'll do it again, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot. Take care. And to you two, I know someone in here could probably stand a nap, and it's not Tom, who's been traveling all day, and it's busy times for you guys. But I really appreciate Hannah Newhouse and you, Molly Helmuth. Molly, you've always been there whenever we've needed you, and I really appreciate that. Mm-hmm. So thanks a lot for coming in, you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Anytime. We'll do it again. Here we go. It's the B-52s with Tom.
Yeah, you know that I do.